This is Brian Meador from East Carolina University. You are listening to The Sports Objective, the official, unofficial podcast of the Pirates.
Welcome into the Sports Objective right here on a Tuesday evening. We got a very special show. Ladies and gentlemen, the ladies' man, Kyle from LaGrange Barber, how are you?
The ladies' man, Leon Phelps.
Yeah.
I got a bottle of Cavatier right here with your name on it, Dave Richmond. How you doing?
I have a bad influence tonight with our guest, a special guest, right, Bubba?
Yeah, I'm doing well, guys. I appreciate you asking, Dave. But no, very excited to have this guy back on the show from ECU Video and Director of Video Production, Brian Meador. Meador, how are you?
I'm doing great, man. You know that that official, unofficial thing that I did? I had somebody, I'm not going to say who it was. They were like, how could you say something like that? I was like, I don't know. It was funny. So I just said it. I was like, in my view, they are. They keep it real.
Who asked you that,
Meador? I can't tell you that. I'm not going to lie to you guys. I told you, but I might withhold information.
I mean, we've heard other people comment on the unofficial.
Well, then it's probably somebody you've already heard from then. So I'm not going to – I can't do that. I got to be true.
You talked to that guy?
Hey, he talked to me. I don't really care for him, so that's why I don't want to say his name. So there's that.
Yeah, so how are you, man? Great to have you back.
Hey, man, doing much better after a win. We needed that, you know. It was a heck of a win, too. I know we're going to talk and dive a lot into that, and you know, and talk about all the people who are eating on their chowing down on their crow all week, which has been really nice to see here. Oh, yeah. And, you know, but, you know, Pirate fans are Pirate fans, and we are what we are. And we are passionate and on both sides of the fence.
No doubt. That's one thing that that I'm hoping for is that we have – let me say this, that was very special for me, is that you deal with Coach Houston all the time. And when I say that, I don't mean that negative. I mean that in a good way. But I remember, you remember when the press conference out the South Carolina game, if you don't think these coaches care, look at Coach Houston after the South Carolina game. He got emotional.
Sure did.
Something you don't see from the coach. But I remember when his dad passed away at the press conference, he was emotional.
Two years ago. Yeah.
Yeah. Not saying that it's the same thing. I'm just saying he is emotional, but it's, you know, special moments. But that showed to me how much he cares about Holton. And for all the people that hate on Holton, including guests of this show, not you, that made comments on Facebook, I'll leave that alone. But I'll just say this.
I won't.
The one thing I will say about it is the guy could go anywhere. And it's not because he's a Greenville native. It's not because his dad, who I like a lot, Morgan Ayler, so I don't want to sound like I'm hating on Morgan. I'm not hating on Holton. The kid could have gone anywhere. Nick Saban, he's won a couple championships.
He's done pretty well. Yeah.
Yeah. He reached out to even Holton. I mean, so if Nick Saban, that has like the pressure, you want to talk about a pressure cooker, Pirate Nation? How about the guy in Alabama at Tuscaloosa? Yeah. So my thing is, guys, that I was happy to see the win because that kid is great. And we have to just do more to get him. We have a lot. The one thing that's frustrating for me, as I've said all along, is we've got a lot of playmakers. Let's let them make plays. Let them make plays. If they have to, you know, guys, when we were growing up in the elementary school, when you draw plays in the sand, you know, like, you know, let's, I mean, I know it's not that simple, but sometimes we can make on offense and defense, we can make things a lot harder than they have to be.
Yeah, I'll touch on your first part of that first, because we could dive into the offensive stuff all night. But you know, when he made the comment after the game, all the hate, you know, he's hoping that, you know, all the haters would shut the hell up, is what Coach Houston said. You know, he was emotional, and you could see it on his face. And you could have the debate all day long whether or not he should have said that. You could say, well, you know, if you're going to preach that you should drown out the noise, then you should drown out the noise yourself, and you know, not talk about it. That'd be it. But to me, the people, you know, who didn't like that he said, you know, shut all the haters up, the hell up, where if you go back and just look at Holt Ayler's 12, you go to his Twitter page, not his page, but just search, you know, his name. You know, back in the day when we would Pirates would lose a game, you know, and you're gonna laugh at this one, Kyle. You meet at the water cooler, you talk about how Paul Troth sucked. And then you just say, man, he was awful. God, Paul couldn't throw a ball in the ocean. He's 3 feet in, you know, he's out in the ocean. You know, he couldn't throw in the ocean. So, but you wouldn't call him on the phone because there was no Twitter. You wouldn't pick up the phone and call him and say, hey, Paul, you suck. And then hang up on him. Cause that's essentially what these people are doing. And when you tweet at Holton and you rip him, I read some of that stuff and I was like, come on, man, really? That's crossing the line. You were tweeting at the kid. So you know he's going to read it. These kids have grown up on Twitter, you know, and he's a great kid. And anybody who thinks that he's here only because his dad's here, his dad gets tickets to doing that. He's not on the payroll over there. He gets tickets.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense
to
me.
It's just stupid. If someone makes that argument right out of the gate, anything you say next, you're an idiot because you don't know what you're talking about. Make a statement like that, know what you're talking about.
Yeah, Houston starting Holton because the effing PA announcer is his dad.
It doesn't make any sense at all. I joked with Morgan. Illogical. I was like, Morgan, what clandestine operation you got going on that I don't know about? Because my goodness, man, you don't have any clout over there. I know. I'm in the meetings, you know. But Morgan does a great job of watching his kid play. He puts the the choke mic or cough mic or whatever it is, the dump mic.
Yeah.
He hits that and yells a lot, but then he's back. You know, he's very professional. He does a great job. And you know, to wrap my point up about Holton, these keyboard cowboys out there that like to just sling stuff around and not understand. This is a kid on the other end who's a very good kid. And I'd take a bus for Holton. I've known him since he was younger, but obviously, and I still speak with him a lot. And I am a huge Holton fan. Has he played great every game? No, but he's played great at times where you know he's got it in him. And if the system's working, if his receivers are making plays, this guy is capable of putting up really big numbers and winning football games. Anybody who says he can't do those things hasn't paid attention to the games we have won.
Yeah, here's the thing. If you want to be critical of his performance and analyze it on a message board,
right.
There's a difference. Hey, he put up 77 yards or whatever it was against South Carolina. Didn't play a good game. Hey, let's give Mason Garcia a chance. That's a big difference between that and tweeting at him and saying, Holton Ehlers, you suck. Holton.
Yeah, it was worse than that. Some of the stuff I read, it was worse than that.
Well, whatever it was. Hopefully it was students. If it was grown men doing that, then, you know, you probably need to check yourself in all kinds of ways. But,
agreed.
You know, hopefully it was other students. I mean, nobody should be doing it, but you can understand someone, his peers doing it versus someone my age or your age.
Yeah, and not one of them would do it to his face. And that, I've always said dog professionals and your Twitter and all that stuff, they've earned millions of dollars. You know, they're paid to hear it, you know, they're to drown it out, and they should be drowning it out. But a college kid, come on, man. You know, he chose to stay here. And did we say, oh, my gosh, you are the savior? He didn't walk out there and say, I'm the savior. He just wants to play football and play well and leave his legacy here. And I think he's doing it to an extent. I hope he exceeds what he's done already.
I think Holton's biggest problem during a game is between his ears. And I think that's why the fourth quarter, when things sped up, he didn't have time to think.
Yes,
he
great
executed.
Point.
And I wish we would do more of that. I heard Houston was asked about the press conference today, and he said, well, sometimes we're going to go fast, sometimes we're not. You know, blah, blah, blah.
And, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
I did like one of his – one thing Houston said today, he said the passing game helped open up run lanes for the running backs. So I said, well, yeah, coach, how about that?
Hey, who was our last 1,000-yard rusher?
One of my favorite players of all time.
Jay Cooper. Under what? The air raid.
And that's the thing. We've talked about that several times on this show. You know, not only Ventavious Cooper, but then Breon.
Breon Allen
and Chris Harrison. And those Anthony Scott had about 300 or 400 yards that year.
Yeah.
Those guys combined to rush for more than 1,500 yards.
Yeah. I still like looking at highlights of Breon just shredding Carolina. That was a great game for a lot of guys, but he had a field day out there.
Yeah, Cooper, you mentioned Vontavious. We need to get him on the podcast, guys. One of my favorite Pirates in recent memory.
Yeah, I wish he'd come back. I haven't seen him since he left, but he's a great kid. You know, after he had that one incident that he had, he sent letters to people in the athletic department he worked with apologizing, saying,
"Yeah,
that
I remember that." And knowing what that incident was, give me a break.
Yeah, it was that answer was stupid. I mean, come on. It was just so dumb.
I won't say anything.
You only need to. I got you.
Hey, Midor, we're doing a series called The Peach of a Season, The Peach Bowl. I know you were a student here.
I was there.
Yeah, 91, I was there too. So I want to get your thoughts while we have a few minutes before we dive into something else. But get your thoughts on the Peach Bowl being the third, I can't believe, 30th anniversary, my friend.
I know. I'll take the we did it right with the 25th anniversary. If you guys remember, we had a lot of the guys came back. And of course, when you bring back Luke Fisher and you have Jeff Blake throw a pass to him, and then we beat NC State that 25 years later after, yeah. You know, that's the way we beat them before. I thought, wow, that was incredible. And they're great. And then, of course, Coach Lewis was back. We couldn't top that this year with what we did in 25th year. But 30 years later, I bring this up when I talk to people when they talk about, you know, why do I go to a game when I can sit at home and watch it on my gigantic TV? And I say, because you'll never feel what I felt that day in January 1 of 1992 and the 91 season when we beat them. And that field, I was in the end zone where NC State was coming at us. And right when he kicked it, I saw the ball. It was to my left, but it was a wide right kick. And he kicked it. So there's no way the ball is going to come back and go in. We all started celebrating. And my little sister, she fell over the seat into the crowd in front of her. Of course, they were NC State fans. They were mad. It didn't matter. It was an absolute blast. Ran down on the field, got a chunk of the field. And I've actually got an East Carolina room upstairs that has tons of Peach Bowl memorabilia because I'm one of those psycho nuts about that game. And I know teams win Peach Bowls now, Chick-fil-A, whatever they're calling it, all the time. But to us, that was a special thing. And beating State and the way we came back 17 down, you know, it was a lot of fun. And I talk about it all the time. I mean, it's one of the greatest experiences I've ever had in a live sporting event without question. The feeling, the emotion, the crowd, it was incredible.
How low were you sitting in the end zone that day?
Because I was right. If you look up the upper, like right at the top of the goalpost, where it starts to get a little bit dark, where there's some fans under the underhang, I was just in front of that. Yeah, and I've looked at the old video trying to see where I was, but like everybody else, I had a purple shirt or purple sweater with East Carolina across it, those old ones we had in college. And I would love to have seen a shot of my sister falling down. The video was so bad back then, you just couldn't see it. But that's where I was sitting.
And the reason I ask is because my family and I, we were only probably 5 to 10 rows up, and we were, as you were describing your vantage point, we were to the right of the goalpost as well. When Hartman missed it wide right, it was tire left. So that's why I was curious.
Oh, yeah. In fact, Midor, Bubba caught your sister.
I heard he married her. Congratulations on that. Exactly. I haven't spoken to 11.
You were like 11, Bubba, right?
Yeah, that was a good catch. She's tiny, though. It wasn't hard. Now, 30 years is crazy, man.
Yeah, I was I was at the opposite end, and I'll never forget that because I still, to this day, can't believe Sheridan went for it. I still can't believe he went for a tie.
Tie, yeah.
I mean, that was the lamest thing ever.
Yeah, like, and then he missed it. It was like, doubled. Like we doubled down on the win. Now that we win, we stopped you from getting your precious tie.
Brian, did the game we talked about, you know, 17-point comeback in the fourth quarter against NC State, did the game the other night remind you of that?
Well, not until I didn't really pick up on it because I got to tell you, the atmosphere wasn't like that. Because, you know, when we scored and we scored again in the Peach Bowl, it had a different atmosphere to it. And we weren't coming off two bad performances and one horrible performance. But, you know, when we got close, I was thinking, oh, man, when they missed that field goal, I looked at Bailey and not Brian Bailey. And I said, man, we got a chance here. Holy cow. You know, forget the spread, which we do all these picks each week. And I said, man, I think East Carolina's going to cover, but I think it's going to be a hard win. It's going to be a tough road win. And to go in there, and then afterwards, Tom McClellan and Malcolm told us that it was almost the same exact number of minutes and seconds that the Peach Bowl were, that we came back 7 and whatever it was. I was like, wow, I didn't realize that. But I guess because it wasn't just this eruption of fans, I didn't think of it like that. I thought, you know what? I felt good and I felt great for not only Coach Houston, but I felt relieved for Holton. He needed that. And I thought it was when he was marching down the field, when he caught the touchdown, Brian Bailey, we were barely hanging on. It was fun because we want to see that kid succeed. You know, we don't want to make him succeed. We want to see him succeed.
Yeah. The onside kick to me is when,
fantastic.
Wow. That's when I was like, you know, all right, we're going to do this.
Yeah. And you know, Bailey and me were debating, what do you do here? And I said, man, what do we do here? I mean, I could see them, you know, timeout, first down, and then we've only two timeouts left, and then you're really facing against the clock. So I told Bailey, he said he thought we should kick. because we had
the way they would have running the ball.
They'd have gotten 600 and some yards anyway. And you saw, I mean, that kid was running the ball. He's better than I thought he was. Yeah, I totally agree with you. And what a gutsy way to pull it off, too, man. It was fun.
Yeah, I felt like it was a no-brainer to go with the onside there the way the game was going.
Last team with the ball was probably going to win unless you make a big play. Right. And, you know, we lost, what was it, the Cincinnati game years ago? Was it the whiteout game where Lincoln scored too quickly? And we're all like, no!
Where people were ripping rough for scoring too fast.
It was UCF.
Oh, it was UCF. Okay, thank you. Yeah, I just remember being at the end and, you know,
it's a bar. What game are you talking about?
At Cincinnati.
Yeah, I thought it was at
– Oh, at Cincy. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, gotcha.
Yeah, we were
– The whiteout game.
When you said rip and rough, immediately I went to the UCF game.
No, that was the Hail Mary. That was the failure to take a knee properly or just throw the ball through the end zone and he took the sack.
Hand the damn ball off.
Ball, 100% agree. Or punt it over to the Murphy Center, but you don't take a sack.
Well, we should have never went backwards. So if we would have handed it off four straight times to Chris Harrison – we'd have never been going backwards.
You're right.
Good luck throwing a Hail Mary from the 10-yard line.
That's right.
Even though it was obviously a different situation, you know, when Holton did that the other night with 6 seconds left, I couldn't help but think of that UCF play just because of what we were just saying, that Shane Carden, you know, we should have launched it and thrown it as high and far as we could.
Okay, I had a front row ticket for that huddle. I was shooting it, and I got up right on top of Mike, and he was talking to Holton. He's talking to all the guys, but then he looks at Holton, he grabs him by his chest, and he said, "Under no circumstances do you take off running. You throw the ball as high and as far as you can out of bounds. And you take a few steps back, and if you sense any pressure at all, throw it this side. It's a more comfortable throw." And I heard him talking to him, and Holton was like, "I got this." And that was it. And he walked over there, and I didn't even shoot Holton. I was behind Mike. The shot that he was in the coach's show where Mike just pumps his fist in the air and runs out to shake hands. And I was right behind him. He just looks up and sees it. He's, "That's it." Because 6 seconds, you know, that ball's not coming down. And if it does, so what? It's second down. Do it again, you know? I mean, worst case, you run out of the back of the end zone, you're still going to win the game. So,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
And, you know, what we were talking about afterwards, I went back and I read the game notes. I was like, man, I'm reading all these game notes. And one of the biggest plays in that game wasn't mentioned in our notes. And nobody was talking about because of all the great, incredible things that happened and the big plays.
The strip at the goal line.
Bivens, man. That was incredible. He came from all the way back, runs up, just punches it. I mean, he just – fist punches it, knocks it out. That saves a touchdown. I mean,
what? I got an interesting note for you.
Tegan Wilk, right? Tegan Wilk.
What's that? That's good to hear you.
The play at the goal line. I thought Tegan Wilk.
I thought Bivens forced the fumble. Was he the one that recovered it?
I don't know. I could be wrong. I thought it was Tegan Wilk, but
okay. I thought it was Bivens when I watched that. Yeah, you know, but it's hard to tell when you're down there.
Either way, unbelievable play. And as soon as that play happened, I was watching the game with my dad, and I said, "We win the ball game. Remember that.
Remember that play, because you know, even though they scored, they did score again after that. But you imagine going into the fourth quarter down 24 as opposed to 17. I mean, you know,
we'd have probably came up one score short. Yeah. But I got an interesting memory for y'all. I don't know if y'all remember this. The last time we won at Marshall in, I believe the last time when there was 05, correct me if I'm wrong, we had a very similar play where Marshall was getting ready to score. We stripped it with them going in the end zone.
Big boy Linville went the other way.
Yeah, right? He ran it all the way back.
Yeah,
yep.
Yeah.
And that was the last time I believe we won at Marshall until Saturday night.
Well, the last time we played there was 2013. That's correct. A bad memory. So it's been so long that since we've won there that, yeah, it would have to be.
It was 05.
And speaking of, we had that one in 05, but then we won in 2009. It was
right. You're right. Yeah, we did win in 09.
But that 2005 game, Kyle, you remember Guy Whimper.
He ran somebody that. I'm telling you, he got to the NFL.
Saying, he said, said, "Who in the HELL is that?"
Yeah, so that guy got to the NFL.
Lineman ran down the corner.
Yeah, that was. I'm telling you, that's why he got in the NFL, man. It was incredible because all the stuff they asked for, they wanted to see that play. I remember that. Yeah.
That the very fact that what shows me, I want to ask you, Meador, going back to the onside kick real quick. When I was listening to Jeff Charles, I was driving home. And I hear Jeff Charles do that play. You know who I thought about first off was Steve Logan. I said, "That is Logan-esque. That is Logan-esque.
You go for it.
Go for it."
Every time.
He did the onside kick. It worked. I said, I had like flashbacks of the 1990s all over again for that play. I mean, that was
– Well, Logan used to do onside kicks just out of the blue. Sure. Early in his career, he didn't do it as much later, but in his career, just random onside – the last – in fact, I do remember – I'm having all kinds of flashbacks. The last time I remember doing a just, why the hell did we onside kick it there? But at least we recovered it. GalleryFurniture.com bowl. We scored on Texas Tech first drive. Then we onside kicked it on the kickoff, recovered it, and scored again.
Was it Ryan Doherty the kicker back then?
Yeah, I believe
on kickoffs, punts and kickoffs, I believe is what he did. Yep. Yeah, I think that's right, because I remember that.
Doherty was a freshman in 2002. I'm trying to remember in 2000, Kevin Miller.
No, it
Kevin Miller. Yeah, you're right.
I just remember. I remember them using Ryan. Yeah, I think he had two career touchdowns. Because remember, he was the holder.
Yeah,
he was the
dumbest rule in UVA.
UVA. And here's a. I know we're getting off track here, but here's a rule in college football where you could be on your knee with the ball in your hands, you get up and run with it. You know, it's just a dumb rule that they need to get, just be tackled, man. It's football at that level.
That touchdown for Doherty against UVA, it was down there in the Murphy Center end zone.
That's right.
It was one of those, you know, you have aiding the runner, but it didn't get called, and all of a sudden Ryan just busts through.
Yeah, he did. But, I actually sent him that video a few years back, so he's a great guy.
No. One question I had for you, I know I'm going to put you on the spot, Meador, is about how you're a part of the program. When can we get an indoor practice facility?
Honestly, we should have one now. We should have one now. What are you talking about? We shouldn't have that gigantic thing in the south, you know, side there. We should have pared that down. We needed the press box, no doubt about that. But I know this is looking in the rear view as far as looking forward, but we would have that facility. And that's something that, you know, John and Ryan, it wasn't on their watch that happened. And I got a feeling, knowing how they view things, it never would have happened like that. You know, you can look at it as a big, beautiful monstrosity, but it makes sense financially.
Yeah, we could have built a press box for a lot less money. I know.
There's no doubt about that.
I know. Arkansas State built one a couple years ago for a fraction of the cost.
Well, I mean, you know, the numbers are out there, what it was projected to get and what it actually got. It's you know, public record. I'm not saying anything that's you know, you couldn't find out yourself. But I'm also, I work there, but I also, you know, those guys are gone. And I don't think it's anything they ever would have done. But that's what we have. So we have to make the best of it. And we got to do our best to fill it. And, you know, I'm really liking the early projections for, you know, our fan base on Saturday against Charleston Southern, which I was worried, you know, if we had lost that Marshall game, we, you know, that'd have been a tough fill, and we got to get the students in the stands, obviously. And that's the big one. We got to get the students in there. We got to get them excited. And moving forward, we should have one. And that's the next push, I hope, you know. We'll see. I mean, I'm not invited to those meetings for a reason.
One thing I was glad this administration shot down was the field level club.
Yeah, gosh, yes. I saw the renderings of that thing. It was like, no, stop. No, we're not doing that. And then boondoggle was a word that came to my – a friend of mine said. I was like, yeah, that's about right. This whole thing is a big boondoggle. But the end zone there, no, that's not what we do. We're not – no. That was horrible. I'm glad they cut it.
Hey, Meador, I got a question for you about the town back tower. What you think? Dave had a good idea. One will hit him every now and then. He suggested that we put a sports bar and restaurant in Townback Tower, you know, this open, you know, year round, that where Pirate fans could go watch away games there. And, you know, I actually think it's a great idea. I think
you can drink a lot of money. He
stole that idea from Brian Bailey and me, because we thought about doing that years ago. We were going to get him, me, and Billy Weaver. We were like, hey, we'll just convince him. We'll come up with the money. We'll front it somehow.
I think it's a great idea.
We'll call it the Killer Bees or something like that. I don't know, but we'll put something in. It obviously have the pirate theme, but it was Billy, you know, Bailey and me. Or, you know, I thought we could do something fun, but none of us know anything about restauranting or bars. So it was really, other than, you know, being a patron. What about professional at that?
Well, Billy had just run the food truck, the breakfast thing.
Yeah, he did, man. He's over at his dealership now, Brownwood. So sold his first truck the other day. So good for him. You know, he's excited about a new chapter, but he's still doing stuff on radio, and we'll still see him around. So, but I don't know, man. I think I see all these minor league parks, and they're wildly successful, and they're still open, especially in the parks that are in downtown areas. And, you know, why not, man? You know?
Oh, you think about it. You think about, you know, obviously during football season, there's away games, but baseball season, even during the summer when nothing's going on, there are times where you go to the mountains, the beach, vacation so much, and then about late July, I get itchy, ready for football, and hell, I just go to get some wings and drink a beer and sit out and look at the stadium.
Hey, how about the fact when the first time we have a super regional there for baseball, afterwards you can walk
over. Oh, man, you kidding me?
Or winning the super regional.
I'd say before, you know? I mean, let's do it before. But, I mean, I've never had that discussion in front of, people who actually make decisions, but I promise you next time I sit in front of somebody, and it'll be this week, I will ask. Have you guys ever thought about it? I mean, really think about it. Because
that's the way we can generate money for the indoor practice facility.
Yeah. Well, you know, think about this. What if you let it charge rent? Let somebody come in. You split.
Let somebody else do it. Yeah. Well,
let somebody,
you know what?
Percentage, you know.
You know what? I like that idea, but I'm telling you, I think the university could run it themselves. I don't think it'd be much of a gamble. I cannot see it not being successful.
The only thing I would think about is all the insurance that comes into play, liability and all those things. I would wonder how much are you really making? How much you're going to get something off rent? I don't know. This is way above my pay grade, but I can tell you this. I would be a frequent patron of that joint.
Yeah, no doubt.
Because I can walk from work.
Hey, we got some comments. Bubba, do you want to put up here for Meador? I know you've got to run in a few minutes, dude. So our good friend Pirate. By the way, I gave a shout out for the first comment. Pirate Al needs to be the mayor of Pirate Nation. So, but anyway, he says time for a live DJ to get the crowd and students fired up during timeouts.
I tried that one time, didn't they?
Yeah, we did. It's still life was. And to my knowledge, that was not nixed until the last moment. So I think that is something that's still planned, because I remember back in the 90s, and I know Pirate Al remember this, we used to have a student on the field, a separate from the PA. He had a microphone, and there were times when all he did was walk by. He was dressed up like a pirate, not to take anything away from Pirate Steve, but he would pump the student section up, because the student section was on the other side, the north side, on the left part of, at least that's where we were. And we thought it was great because the speakers were pointed our way. It didn't take away from anybody else, and it was really good for the students to have. We have had those discussions before. The last I had heard on the DJ, it was a last minute kill, as far as this is what I know, and I could be wrong on that. That's what I heard. I don't think.
Can we get better music selections at the game? I mean,
I got nothing to do with that, man. Because I've been griping about that for years.
I just sync my iPhone and just.
You know, that started a lot of that started with Mo. He wanted, and had some rough a little bit more Mo. Mo wanted music that his kids would get into on the field. But you know, they all got their iPods on early on when they're out there stretching. But then he wanted something, the playlist to be more geared towards his student athletes. That was, I know that's where some of it started anyway. As far as that kind of music.
All right, along the lines of the sports bar at the stadium in Town Bank Tower, Johnny Gardner chimed in saying the Carolina Mudcats had the cattails with theirs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got the idea from, to be all – if
Greensboro's got one. I mean, Winston-Salem, I've seen them. And I think they're successful. I'd love to – I mean, I think it's a fantastic idea. I also think Pirate Al should be mayor of Greenville, period, not just – of the Pirate Nation, just so we're on the same page on that one.
I'll rent an apartment so I can vote for Pirate Al if that's the case.
I would still vote for him.
Meador, I know you remember this. Johnny also said we need Pirate Jay to walk the stands again. I remember the gentleman that referred to himself as Pirate Jay out, you know, the Liberty Bowl. And, you would see him barefooted. It was something else.
I never knew who he was, though. Is he still around?
I'm not sure. I never knew his name until several years later.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, stuff like that happens organically. Sometimes you can't plan for it, but
right.
I have no idea. I've asked people like Lee Workman, where'd that student come from? And he said, well, he was part of some fraternity, and that was it. You know, there was no continuation. But I do think when people ask me about do we keep going with like a Pirate Steve type. Or do we have a student program like some of these other teams have, like Tennessee or West Virginia? And I'm like, nah, Pirate Steve gets it. He looks like, we have a lot of women in our audience. I think they like Pirate Steve. We have to.
My wife likes Pirate Steve.
He's a great guy too, and I love what Curtis Thiemann over at Port City Films has done with him with the intro videos. It's fantastic, and he loves it. And I love that whole part of it.
Yeah, I ever since he's been coming out with the team, I'm never quite sure if I should give my wife a dollar to go stick in his pants or if I need to be his tag partner for an indie wrestling show at JHRO's High School.
That's right.
Or the other.
Hey, 60% of our fan base, or our student body for that matter, is female, so you, a lot of that fan base in there, and they go there for the atmosphere, and he's part of it.
No doubt. We got a couple minutes left with you. I know you got to run. So about the game Saturday, I take it you feel good about you don't overlook Charleston Southern, but we should beat Charleston.
Well,
Southern.
I mean, you know, Houston's never beaten. He's 0-3 against Charleston Southern. Yeah. Obviously, he wasn't playing. He wasn't coaching East Carolina, but I think we shouldn't look past them. But I'm going to. That Tulane game is huge. Your bowl aspirations might lie in that Tulane game, you know, in a week and a half.
Midor, I'm going to tell you, like I told somebody the other night, I would agree with you,
but
only,
but
we've shown the ability to win on the road. So,
you're right.
So if we UCF? Lose, yep. So if we lose to Tulane, here's my thinking. We need to win after Charleston Southern. Got to beat Charleston Southern.
Right.
But we need to win one of the next three. Whether it's Tulane, Houston, or UCF. If we win one of those next three, we should be better than South Florida, Temple, and hold your breath, Navy.
Well, how are they so bad? My goodness, man.
Yeah, I don't know.
Temple's horrible. Hey, Temple, South Florida, Navy. I already put them as wins. So,
that's five. That's five. Against Charleston Southern. So we're one of our next three.
Let me look at you. You beat Tulane, and what do you do against UCF? Houston with a lot of confidence.
I'm telling you, the one I keep staring at, because I just don't think – I don't think Dana Holgerson's very motivated, and he hasn't done a good job at Houston. In that stadium, it's TDECU, and I just – that's the one I keep thinking. Just wait and see what we do.
I'm going to write that down right now. Houston is where we win.
I'd say, Midor, I'll leave you with this. I think we're gonna be at five wins Thanksgiving weekend.
Oh, don't do that, Dave. Don't, Dave. No, oh, God. No.
Here we go.
No.
Cincinnati.
Oh man. All right.
No, but think about that. Think about that.
I don't want to be having to beat a top 10 potentially undefeated team.
Let's be doing that for win number seven. Let's be doing that.
Yeah, there you go. And a decent bowl.
Yeah, we'll put this one comment. We'll let you go. I promise. Pyredale has one more thing for you. And we can put that up there. He has a prediction 7-6 winning
the
Myrtle Beach Bowl. So yeah, I said 7-5 on the year, Pyredale. So
yeah, Myrtle Beach Bowl.
That would be awesome.
Technically, it doesn't have a tie to the American this year, but I know ESPN has been kind of, for the bowls they own, they've been kind of flexible with those conference tie-ins. So,
and they also want to see people that butts in the seats, and that's a Pirate Armada making its way south.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? Myrtle Beach? Yeah. What is that stadium about? 20,000? I mean,
yeah.
It would be packed.
It would be sold out. It wouldn't even matter who the opponent is. Brett McMurphy, Meter will let you go. Brett McMurphy, his bowl predictions this week, he had us in his projections going to the Cure Bowl playing South Alabama.
I'll take anything that says bowl.
Let's go.
It's been long enough, man. We need to be back in the bowl game.
Absolutely. We'll be playing with you in Florida in December, my friend.
I love it.
All right.
Anytime. Well,
appreciate you, buddy.
You guys are the best. I don't think you got me fired this time, so thank you.
Oh, please.
We'll wait till next time.
All right. hey, Midor, we'll let Pirate Radio do that.
It's already happened once. Good gosh. Not fired, but I got taken off. So there you go. I know. All right.
Have a good one, buddy.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Bye. All right.
Thank you.
What a great guy, Midor. I tell you what, one of the all-time best. I was going to tell him, I knew we were running out of time, but he's a guy that I've known for since 96, 97. Always been that cool to me and everybody in the room. Everybody loves that guy, so appreciate him coming on. Speaking of Kyle, do you have an early idea? I know we have the Pirate Preview coming up on Thursday. Are you feeling good this week about the Pirates?
Well, I mean, if we don't beat Charleston Southern, then – you know, shame on us. I do think they're well coached. I like their offense. They kind of run a spread air raid type offense. They beat the crap out of Citadel week one and then lost to Monmouth, who I knew nothing about. According to Coach Houston, Monmouth is a good football team at the FCS level. Know nothing about them. I know they got good baseball. You got to win this one. I mean, if you don't, you talk about you want to do away with all the goodwill and all the momentum we have after that Marshall game. you lose this one, and good God.
Oh my God. Yeah.
But yeah, I feel good. You kind of need to, a win is a win, you know, but it would be nice to win it impressively, get some, have a chance to get Mason Garcia in and you know, work on some things, but, I'll take a W anyway to come, but, be nice to win it going away.
That you beat me to it. I was getting ready to ask you and Bubba if we would, I feel like we'll see, Mason Garcia. And I was going to ask you that question, here in this part of the show. One of the questions I have, we'll save some of our Pirate preview, obviously, for Thursday. But, Bubba, I know coming up, we'll have on Thursday, I know we have their coach, right, Ultra Denison, right?
Yeah, we'll actually be talking to Coach Denson here in just a few minutes. But we'll have that for you on Thursday during the 9 o'clock hour on our Pirate preview. We caught up with Coach Denson, I guess it was, what, late July, guys, something like that?
Yeah.
Right before camp was getting fired up, and then we'll put that back out on our social media as well. But we'll have a more current interview with Coach Denson that we're recording tonight for Thursday at 9.
Yeah, no great, great guy. He really likable. I mean, that's just, you know, I hope we beat the snot out of him, but he's a very likable guy. I remember from that previous interview.
No doubt.
What a career he had at Notre Dame. Notre Dame's all-time leading rusher, something like 4,300 or 4,400 yards. And that's obviously very impressive when you think about some of the running backs that have played at Notre Dame down through the years.
He played for Lou?
He played, I want to say it was maybe 2 years for Lou Holtz and a couple for Bob Davey.
Yeah, it was the end of, the end of Holtz. I wanted to ask both you guys what you're hearing the latest on one of my favorite topics, conference realignment. I know, Kyle, you had an interesting text there yesterday, right? A tweet.
As yesterday I had heard, you know, that there was rumors that it appears Boise State and San Diego State have kind of said they weren't interested. We apparently Arasco approached Mountain West Conference teams, but Colorado State and Air Force evidently do have some interest. So, the rumor as of yesterday was Colorado State, Air Force, UTSA, and UAB. I went over to Colorado State message board, where their board's set up. You got to pay to get access to the good stuff. So I really couldn't find out anything. So we need to get somebody on from Colorado State and see what they're hearing. My gut tells me it won't happen. I just don't know how much Colorado State and Air Force have to gain. I know Air Force has not been very happy. With the Mountain West. I guess Air Force could come without Colorado State, but it would make sense if they both came. That division actually makes some sense. Colorado State, Air Force, UTSA, SMU, Tulsa, you can make some sense. Navy. You would put Navy over there.
Navy with, there, so they would be together with Air Force. Yeah.
So that makes some sense because Colorado is, I don't know, people look on a map, they don't realize how close it is to Texas until you look at a map. So
Texas is just that big.
Well, yeah, and you also, the climate, you think, oh, well, Colorado's not near Texas, but it is. Yep. So I'm okay with that because I think it's good to be associated with schools like Colorado State and Air Force. If that doesn't happen, I hope the league doesn't go after markets. I hope it doesn't become UTSA, UAB, Charlotte, Georgia State, just because they get the biggest markets they can. I think they need to look at what the Sun Belt did and what Conference USA did. The Sun Belt took quality football programs. They elevated their conference. Conference USA took markets, and they're on Facebook. So if you can't get those schools, I would really stop, pause.
Marshall.
And take, I would look at a Marshall. State. I would look at Appalachian State. There's some other schools out there that need to be looked at. Arkansas State, Western Kentucky, Louisiana Tech, Louisiana Lafayette. I mean, there's a lot of good football programs out there.
As far as UAB, obviously Bill Clark has done a just remarkable job there. So
Southern Miss. Don't let me leave those guys out.
From that standpoint, as far as UAB, their on-field product is very good in recent years. under Bill Clark. But you know, the fan bases and that an App State or even, you know, Louisiana and Southern Miss, even though they've been down in recent years,
what about
just their fan bases, just they are so much better and so much bigger, and you know, their atmospheres are pretty good, especially in good times. That's why I would prefer someone like that who has a fan base that really gets into it the way Pirate Nation does.
UAB building a new stadium is going to open in October, 45,000 seat, downtown Birmingham. That should help. You know, I've always heard they claim that they draw 20,000 to 25,000 at Legion Field. If that's the case, you know, you never really could tell at Legion Field. If they truly draw 20,000 to 25,000 at Legion Field, when you're putting that in a 45,000 seat stadium, that don't look half bad. They have a great product right now. They won Conference USA 2 throughout the last 4 years.
Yep.
I don't really have a problem with UAB. You know, to me, if the Mountain West schools say no, maybe UAB, Marshall, App State, I pick a fourth school. I don't know. Maybe North Texas. Hell, I don't know. But I'm still hopeful. I kind of like the idea of Colorado State and Air Force. I think those, like I said, they're good schools to be. Bubba, you know this. I've always kind of had a weird obsession with Colorado State. Yep. I wanted to schedule them non-conference.
Colorado State, that program was, you know, in pretty rough times, if I recall correctly. And then Sonny Lubick took over. Yep. And throughout the 90s, you know, they were playing on ESPN very frequently. They had a big running back, last name McDougal. You remember him, Kevin? I think it's Kevin McDougal.
Kevin McDougal, yeah, I do. Kevin, and I
Kevin
remember,
McDougal was a stud.
Then I remember their quarterback, surfer dude with kind of blonde hair, Bradley Van Zandt.
Yes, you know, Coach Lubick, he had been on the staff at Miami.
Yeah.
So he had been a part of a lot of success, and he took that out to Fort Collins.
Yeah, and they've been up and down ever since he retired, and currently Steve Adagio is out there, and it doesn't seem like a good fit to me. I thought it was a weird hire when they made it, but be interested to see if that happens, if them and Air Force join the conference. You know, I asked Coach Houston, my question was kind of reworded on the coaching show the other night. You know, I asked him, I said, would you prefer to be in a conference with the likes of Colorado State Air Force, or would you prefer to be in something more regional with, say, Appalachian State and Marshall? And the question was reworded as, would you prefer being in a conference with teams multiple times on a way or something more regional? And he said something more regional, but TV dictates everything and TV dollars, and he don't think anybody's going to ask him what he thinks. You know, the Sun Belt is talking about, and there's some Conference USA schools talking about leaving the ECUSA to go to the Sun Belt. Marshall, Southern Miss, you're hearing Old Dominion. And then I've heard James Madison. Now I'm hearing said James Madison may be La Tech. So it could end up being Southern Miss, La Tech, Marshall, and Old Dominion going to the Sun Belt to kind of form regional divisions there. So,
yeah.
You know, would that be something East Carolina would be more interested in playing in than a spread out conference? The only thing with doing something like that to make it lateral move, if we do want a regional conference, is a $10 million exit fee. So I don't see us leaving the American unless it's to go to a Power Five league.
And is it possible, guys, that with the three schools we lost for in the American, is it still possible? I still believe. And I still, maybe I'm crazy for this wishful thinking, Dave, the king of wishful thinking, but I believe there's a chance a Big 12 can still implode. I really do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it could still happen. It may not happen for another 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, I'm not talking about right now. I'm talking about like 2025.
Yeah, we got to worry about right now. It's definitely possible. And it's definitely possible that the Big 12 doesn't implode and they lose a couple more schools. And a couple more schools from the American or Mountain West go to the Big 12. What we need to start doing is start winning. And maybe, you know, that started this past weekend. And then by 2025, maybe we'll be in position if the Big 12 loses some schools. But in the meantime, we're in the American and need to kind of keep an eye on what the American is doing and who's going to be our conference mates. I'll tell you, like I said before, I don't know about y'all, but what does not interest me is the market thing. I am not interested in Charlotte and Atlanta. Yeah. It no appeal there.
Well, here's the thing. We talk about rivalries all the time, and people say that's stating the obvious, but when you have a situation like Southern Miss, when you have a situation like Marshall, you know, when you have teams that you're playing all the time, and even I know they're in the Big 12, but God forbid for them, but if the Big 12 implodes and you have a West Virginia, can you imagine West Virginia, Marshall, App State? There's a lot of teams in there, Southern Miss, and even UAB, we played for many years in Conference USA. There's a lot of schools out there that we have, at least we played against them, but there's a lot of regional rivalries that we have. I mean, some people will hate on Charlotte. I get it because of market, and they, what was it, 23?
Well, it's not market with Charlotte so much, Davis. That's the only reason they're in Conference USA. Look, they formed a football program and immediately got in Conference USA, which we had to even fight for that.
Thank you, Louisville. Not really.
Yeah, no good. But I mean,
they tried to vote against us and keep us out and all that mess they did back.
Yeah, I really don't care about being in the same league with Charlotte. If we're gonna be in the same league with someone else in the state, I'd rather be out of state.
Matt Tomenza chiming in on Facebook. Matt says he likes the idea and that you have Kyle as far as Colorado State, but the UAB does not excite him.
Well, you know, Matt, I get that because UAB, you know, did we play UAB when Matt was here? I'm trying to remember.
We started playing them, what, in the late
90s? Yeah, so I know we've played him his senior year in 98 because they came to Dowdy Ficklin. That was right there not long after they had really gotten their program up and running at the Division 1A level.
Yeah, they joined the league in 99.
Watson Brown.
And then heaven forbid bring that 99 game up when the Pirates went to Birmingham, 5-1 or something at the time, 5 or 6-1. And
in November of 99.
And I think we were maybe even winning at halftime and we just had a
–
crapped the bed in the second half.
Let me tell you about that game. Not only were we winning at halftime, we were winning by multiple scores at halftime. We had knocked their quarterback out, and then their quarterback comes back like friggin' Bobby Boucher in the Bourbon Bowl and comes out in the third quarter from the hospital. We sent him to the effing hospital in an ambulance. He comes back. I just picture him walking into the locker room going, you remember when Bobby Boucher came back and we won the Bourbon Bowl? And they came out in the second half and he played like Peyton Manning. Yeah. So, that game can kiss my ass. I busted my knuckles on a sycamore.
It was like 36-17 or something.
Yeah, we were up 17-7 at halftime.
Yeah.
I busted my knuckles on a sycamore tree in my dad's yard after that game.
We had a chance to have double-digit wins for Logan that year, and instead we ended up with 9, right, Bubba?
Yeah, 9.
Yeah.
We'd have 10 if we had that game. But,
well, we'd have 10 if we'd have won the bowl game also. But
or 11, right?
That was my introduction to LaDainian Tomlinson.
Oh, boy, I found out about him a little bit before that, Bubba.
I think I was aware of him, but just as far as how good he was.
Well, I became aware of him earlier that year when he set the single game rushing record at the time against UTEP. And that's when I took notice of him. And then we played him in the bowl game. I was like, oh, they got that running back. I was like, oh, this is going to be tougher than people think. And who knew that was the beginning of what TCU would become.
Yep. Speaking of a great school up and coming. Hey, guys, we got to run, but I know Thursday we got a big show, right, Bubba?
Yeah, we'll have our Pirate preview for the Charleston Southern game. As I mentioned earlier, we'll have Autry Denson, the head coach of the Bucks and Notre Dame great, and we'll talk to Coach Denson once again. And then we'll also and again, that's during the 9 o'clock hour. And while we're at it, we'll go ahead and promote Saturday's Pirate football playback. 6 o'clock kickoff against the Bucks at Dowdy Ficklin. So obviously that would be, you know, somewhere in the 10 o'clock hour, probably around 10:30, we'll have our Pirate football playback where it'll be the three of us, potentially, you know, AT, Alan Thomas, And we'll see, you know, maybe some former players will chime in. You never know who may join.
Sounds like great. I want to thank Brian Medor. Appreciate you, Medor, very much for coming on tonight, guys. As always, Bubba, Kyle, thank you so much. And I appreciate all Pirate Nation tuning in tonight. If you're watching or listening, you've been watching and listening to The Sports Objective. Good night, everybody, and go Pirates.
Yo, what's going on, y'all? This is Udon Cheek, assistant track and field coach at East Carolina University. You are plugged into the Sports Objective Podcast. If you are a fan, you are plugged into the right place. And if you're really a fan, you will share that link. My heart is purple and gold. I'm a pirate down to my soul. And I don't back down, not at all. Find out when the cannons explode. Boom!